Hey everyone, welcome to the Got 10 Minutes podcast, the podcast for product teams. Today we speak with Magda Pereira, who is a lead product owner at OutSystems. Hey Magda, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Nice to have you. And we're so excited to have you on the show. And I can't wait to hear about your background and like how you got into being a product owner at OutSystems. I'd love to hear more about your story, more about your background. Who is Magda?
First of all, thank you for having me. I really like to hear all the episodes, and I already learned a lot with them also. Awesome. And that's one of the things about me. I really like to learn, and I think that a good day at work is to learn anything new. And even in my personal life, I really like to learn about anything that came up. Mm-hmm. So I started as a developer. Okay, I started by developing some things. What was curious is my real first job was a project manager. Okay, but after a year doing that, I really wanted to get back to the basics, to development, to really understand what I was doing, to really understand the things that were passing behind the scenes. Okay. And then I just, after having some experience as a developer, I then moved to the product designer area, okay? Because I really was concerned about the experience that the user had on the things that I was developing, how I could give a better experience to the users of the features that I was developing. And from being a product designer, then I just felt very natural to go to product owner, where I am currently. And yeah, it was like a change in my career. And I know that is a diverse path that I did, but yeah, currently I'm a product owner, and I really like to work with the developers and really understand and be able to discuss with them. So my background as a developer really helped me on that. And then the other part of interacting with users, I think that I learned from my position as a product designer. So yeah, I tried to come up with my background, my different experience, and bring them to product ownership.
Oh, nice. So you have a very, very solid background, both design and also engineering. How does your background, I would say, as a developer help with communicating objectives or key tasks to your engineers, right? Like how does that help?
I think that I can put it in myself in their shoes, okay? And usually I can handle the conversations better with them. I can step back a bit. I can understand when I should push for them to be more bold on achieving some goals, okay? And usually I think that I can help them more on achieving those goals and explaining better what we pretend to do with this, and take advantage of this user perspective, okay, to explain them the value of what we are creating. And I think that this is very important to pass to the development team. So the development team should understand clearly what is the value of they are creating and why this is important for the users that are using the products that we are building.
Awesome. And for those who don't know, could you give me like a short description of what OutSystems is? What kind of company is it?
Yes, sure. So OutSystems is the low-code platform. Okay. So what this means is that we help developers developing applications, mobile applications, web applications with low-code. So they don't need to use high code. Okay. To develop the applications, and they can create end-to-end experiences using low code. Okay, this really increases the productivity of the developers. And more specifically, what I do is really work on that part of acceleration and guidance. Okay, using AI to help the users with the OutSystems platform. So what I do, I embed AI on the platform in order to provide like suggestions to the users, to develop their logic, to give them like guidance with helping things when they are lost and things like that.
Got it. And what has it been like being the lead product owner at OutSystems?
So I'm working with two teams. Okay. One is like developers that develop in our IDE. And the other team is a research team, okay, that develops AI models. And these two ways of working, so both teams work on the same parts of the product and are very connected. But me as a product owner, so I started working with only one team, and then this evolved, okay, to get more responsibility and to having like to understand better the vision that we had. Okay, so I started working more on the part of envision what we what are the things that we want to build on this product, the product that we want to have in the future, and understand from now on what steps should we do, okay, to achieve that vision and progress towards that. And in that part, one thing that really enters is the part of the experimentations. So we really need to experiment and to understand the user's needs in order to understand how we will build that vision and having inputs to build that vision.
That was exactly my next question. So what are some of the ways that you conduct experiments to better understand your vision and chart the path to getting to your vision? Like what do you do to make sure that happens?
I can say that we usually have two kinds of experiments. Okay. We have experiments that are like hypotheses, okay, about features that we think that might help the users because of problems that we see that they are facing. And we launch those experiments as an hypothesis. And we try to understand if those experiments really help the users or not. Those experiments can be just for a group of users. We can try to understand if this helps them in a certain flow. And if these experiments, these hypotheses that we created really help with the goal that we have. And then we have another kind of experiments that is when we are already launching a feature and we want to evolve that, and we try to understands that is like what we call A/B testings. That is, so we compare two things, okay, and we want to understand what performs better. Regarding this one example that I can give you is, for instance, currently we have like two AI models on the feature that we are building, and we will see, okay, which model performs better. And we are measuring like in terms of adoption, in terms of engagement, and even in terms of success, which model, which AI model performs best for these metrics.
That's amazing. And from the types of outcomes that you get from both of these two forms of experimentation, one is hypothesis testing, the other is A/B testing. What outcomes do you expect from these kinds of experiments? We could start with the hypothesis testing. Like, what are the two things? Is it either to build or not to build, or is it more complex than that?
Well, it can be a bit more complex than that but if we simplify a lot, it can be just, should we build it or not? Okay. But what we end up by having is like, we might should build it. Okay. We just need to tweak a bit more. And then where it's the part where we need to understand that very, very well the effort of between building it correctly or just work a bit more on the hypothesis and understand to where we should go to work on that hypothesis and to not prototype it yet. Okay. But usually I think that the big outcome is understand if we should build it and put more effort on that, or we should pass to the next hypothesis that we have in our opportunity tree and evaluate if that other hypothesis is better than this one.
Exactly. Amazing. And for A/B testing, pretty much is already built, but you're just like seeing exactly what is more stickier. But like, what's your process around that as well?
So in that, for what I've been studying, we can do almost A/B testing for everything. It can be like an A/B testing regarding the way how the buttons or the UI is being built, okay? Or it can be like more back-end stuff. So for instance, if we are able to get more performance, if we are having like less errors with this one. So it really depends on the goals that we have. But what we try to do is, so for instance, if we have doubts between two things, what is better to the user, we do those A/B testings in order to evaluate what version is better for the end user. Another thing that we use to do A/B testing is, for instance, we want to measure the progress. So we want to really understand with the production data, okay, the evolution that we had between these two things. So for instance, this is not the case in this part, but I will give the example. So between these two models, okay, segmenting the users, one group to go to one model and the other to go to the other model, I can understand, okay, which one is performing better and the evolution of the performing between these two models, and we can understand that.
Amazing. So we're kind of like winding down here. So I'd love to talk more about what you like about your role and some of the weaknesses that you have. So what's one of the most challenging things that you you do on a daily basis?
So I would say that the thing that sticks more to me in terms of this role is connect with users. I really, really like to talk with the people that uses the product and to learn with them. Okay. I think that this is what satisfies me the most, and to show them like our new features or to hear them to talk about the experience that they have. I really like that, and that part really satisfies me. And building on top of this, the part that we can come up with ideas. So I'm a very idea person. Okay. So I can come up with solutions to the problems that the users are telling me, and we can try to solve those problems. So that part really satisfies on the work. Mm-hmm. Regarding the other parts, one thing that I feel a bit more stuck is the things that I don't know, what I still need to learn more, okay? And sometimes this is a bit hard to understand. I don't know if this happened already with you, but for instance, sometimes I read the book and I don't get what the book means with that. And then I have an experience and I recall the book and what I read, and oh gosh, they wanted to say this. And sometimes I would like just to get back to my past me and look, you need to learn this and that and don't do the mistakes in the future and learn with it. So I think that, I would like to learn more and to sometimes to understand better some things before I do some mistakes that I could avoid.
Yeah. And I think that's a really, really good habit or a good attribute to have, you know, like knowing what you don't know and being able to, you know, like just be very, very subjective about the problem and try to take some steps back and look. So this is my last question here. Well, how have you turned that into your strengths? Or if you don't want to talk about that, what other weaknesses would you turn into your strengths?
So I really try to improve myself every day. I don't know how can I say this in another way. Okay, I don't want to seem egocentric or anything else, but I really try to learn any new thing every day. And when I do mistakes, which I do very, very often, okay, I think that is the best way that I learn, unfortunately. But I really try to understand why I did this mistake, how can I learn with it, and what can I do to try to not do this again? Okay, so that's some retrospective that I try to do on my daily basis, or at least at the end of the week before going on weekend, try to understand, okay, I could do better on this part and on that part.
Awesome. Well, Magda, thank you so much for sharing your experiences, sharing your ideas, and also sharing your story with us today. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me. I really was nice to meet you and to being here.
Awesome. And thanks for listening to the Got 10 Minutes podcast. To stay in touch, please follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or the podcast app you're listening to this on right now for more episodes. Take care. Bye.